Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, first three verses, since we are continuing our study in 1 Peter. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So the first week I did an overview of this portion, where it starts with the birth of a Christian. Then it is the growth of a Christian, and then it is the privileges of a Christian, and then the responsibilities of a Christian, and then an example of a Christian. And last week we actually looked at the birth of a Christian, and we said in the first chapter, last part, starting at verse 23 through 25, we see that it says there, we are born again with an incorruptible seed, and that is the word of God that lives and abides forever. So we also saw from these verses that our first birth, our natural birth, is with the corruptible seed. And the glory that comes out of that, this corruptible seed, is itself is corruptible. The glory that comes out of it is corruptible, temporary, and only results in death and in decay. Because in verse 24 it says, all flesh is grass, and all the glory of the man as the flower of the grass withers and it flower falls away. But the glory that comes out of the second birth takes on the character of the incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. The glory that the incorruptible seed that creates in us has eternal value and character. So last week it was all about the birth of a Christian. And this week we are going to look at chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. It is about the growth of a Christian. Even though we looked at it on our overview of the first week, I want to go into the verse itself and look at this a little bit more detail. And it starts with the word therefore. And we know that whenever we see the word therefore, at the beginning of a verse, we had to find out why the word therefore is therefore. So, and so we had to look at the previous verse. And it says, because we are born again by an incorruptible seed, because we are partakers of the divine life that God has deposited in us, then certain things that we are obligated to do in order to make progress in our Christian life, in order for that seed to grow. So therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So we see two things in these verses. First is the list of things that actually stunts or prevents the growth of a Christian. And the second thing we see here is things that actually accelerate or help the growth of a Christian. So there is a need for a Christian to grow. Pilgrims need to make progress. They have been born again they have been given a new birth by the word. They are cleansed by the converting power of the gospel, but they must mature in their new lives. So, but Peter, he starts off by giving us a list of the things that actually stunts the growth, things that prevents the growth. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So, you know, we were listening to the sins of the heart this morning, especially about pride, because our heart is desperately, desperately wicked. And there are things that we must do in order for the growth to happen. So it's saying here that in order for the growth, we have to prepare the soil, and that is done by removing or putting away certain things that will definitely affect the growth of the seed that is sown. So when I was growing up in India, I was there for the first 17 years of my life, and we had land around our house, and like most people do, my parents, sometimes with the help of hired servants, hired help, they go out there, and for preparation of the planting, they go out there and remove rocks, and debris, and dead roots, and dead plants, and they make the soil suitable for the seed to grow into its maximum potential to get the maximum yield. And as the seed germinate and come up through the soil, they have to continuously remove the weeds and other plants that come up and that compete for the nutrients. And Peter is saying here that your growth in your spiritual life depends on the removal of certain debris, certain weeds that is going to stunt your spiritual growth. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. You know, I have heard a story some time ago. I think this was told by our brother George Dawson in one of our conferences. He said the story of a British woman, a story that appeared in most of the major newspapers several years ago. And she was an older lady living by herself and not much connection with the neighbors. And the neighbors usually see her coming outside and getting the newspapers and milk bottles and walking around her house. But later on, they started noticing that she's not coming outside anymore. The newspapers are piling up, the milk bottles are also there without use. So they're concerned, and they called the authorities to do a welfare check on the woman. And when the authorities came and knocked on the door, and nobody answered, though, they forcefully entered into the house. And they noticed as they entered through the door that was a very strong stench, a smell, as they opened the door. And they noticed that the house was full of items, starting from the entryway, all kinds of junk, all kinds of debris. And all through the house, all the rooms are full of things that she collected through the years of junk that she never threw away. And there were rotting food, a strong stench coming out from all these things that are piled up in the rooms. And the story goes on to say that, you know, the sanitation crew has to come, and they had to wear the protective clothing and went in, and they looked and they found that lady dead in one of those rooms. And, you know, she died in the midst of the garbage. You know, she lived among the garbage and she died among the garbage. And it is possible, I thought, for a believer, to live a life that that is accumulated with garbage of all kinds. It is piled up in different areas of our lives. We can't make any progress because these things are choking us and taking the growth ineffective in our life. You know, there is a show called Hoarders. Is that what they call it? Hoarders. I don't know whether any of you have ever seen that show. I saw a little bit of one episode, and it is a story about people who collect things. And the film crew will go in there and they see, starting from the entryway, you see these garbage piled up. All things are stink. They never throw anything out. And they will have a little space for them to sit. There is a little space for them to watch TV, and they have a little space for them to sleep. Other than that, everything is filled with junk. You know, in our Christian life, it is possible for us to collect the garbage. And the stench from this garbage is what we imitate, and not the Word of God. It's not given an opportunity to grow. So Peter here says, wherefore laying aside. You know, even though we have nothing to do with our salvation, it is totally from God. He is the one who is calling us. He is the one who is giving us a new birth. But because we are born again, we have to do certain things. It is our responsibility to put away certain things from our life to grow in Christian life. This is a willful act from our part. It doesn't say here that as you grow, these things will slowly disappear. There are things that God can fine-tune in our life as we grow and as we mature. But if you have a face full of dirt on your face, it is obvious that you need to clean it up. Nobody else had to tell you that. So that is what Peter is saying. This is a willful act from our part to put away certain things for this, our Christian life, to grow. The idea here is like putting off one clothes that are dirty and stained. He's saying that because you are born again as a child into the family of God, you have to put away certain things if you want to grow. We need to cast off certain things. We have to remove certain things entirely from our lives and no longer to practice them. We have to collect the garbage and we have to dispose it. And sometimes when our children have no appetite at dinner time because they have been feeding on the things that are not really that nutritious and healthy before dinner. They have been eating this junk food that fills them up and no appetite for the delicious, nutritious food that are prepared for them by those who knows what is good for them, for their health, for a healthy growth. But we are in the habit of eating junk food that the world is putting before us. We may not have the appetite for what is good and healthy. So we need to set aside certain things to regain our appetite for the Word of God. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Paul in Colossians tell us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 to 10. Maybe we can turn to that if you want to, because it is a great passage giving us pretty much the same idea as what Peter is saying here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 to 10. Paul says, pretty much the same language, put off certain things and put on certain things. Put off and put on. He says in verse 8, but now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So there he's saying two things to put off. And there he says one thing to put on, and in verse 12, he goes on again, says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So in verse 16, let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you richly. Here is the secret. If the word of God has to dwell in you richly, you have to put off certain things from our lives and put on certain other things. So in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, we read, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off, same idea, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Believers are to put off, cast off certain things in our lives and put on certain things if we want to make progress in our Christian life. So Peter says here, therefore, laying aside all malice, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So I want to look at one of these, hypocrisy. It is the third one in the list, but it is a familiar word, and it means pretending to be what we are not. I think Jason touched on that this morning. Pretending to be what we are not. In Christian context, we can say that this word means assuming a false appearance of a Christian, or having a wicked purpose under the appearance of a faithful person. This is one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ called out on the Pharisees. One of the commentators has said that when we read through the Gospels, we find that the Lord Jesus was very gentle with many people that he encountered. He was very gentle with Zacchaeus, his encounter with the woman at the well, he was very gentle with her, the woman that was caught in adultery. Remember how he dealt with her. His attitude towards, quote, sinners was of gentle and kindness. He spoke to all of them with kindness and understanding. But the commentator said, well, when it came to the Pharisees, he was actually screaming at them. He was yelling at them. He said, you brood of vipers. And he told them, they are whitewashed tombs, rotten inside, but showing something different outside, an artificial spirituality of the highest kind. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, But inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then outside also will be clean. He had no problem screaming at them, yelling at them, because that's one thing that God hates. If we have a false appearance of piety, if we have a false appearance of spirituality to fool others, that is false. And the Lord is take that very seriously. And that is why the Lord was always screaming at the Pharisees. He could do that because he knew the heart of each man. But we cannot do that. We cannot really identify a false piety because everybody looks the same. So, but it is important for us, Peter here also says, it is important that you put it aside. If you want to make Christian, if you want to grow in your Christian life, you have to take this off and put on a reality of your spirituality. If you need help, it's time to learn. If you need help with your growth, it's time for you to ask those who can help you learn. But don't put on something that you are not, because God hates that. So the first thing he said is, in the list, is malice. You know, Webster's dictionary described malice as a particular kind of evil. And the word portrays extreme enmity of the heart or ill will towards someone, a desire to injure someone for personal gratification or in a spirit of revenge. When I was reading through it, I thought, is it possible for a believer to have this attitude towards someone else? Well, Peter says it is possible because he's listing that in this list. I understand that the Greek word used here can mean evil of all kinds. He says if you want to grow, we must put away malice or any kind of evil. From a spiritual standpoint, Peter says, we have to take off the clothes of malice out of our soul. The second thing is deceit. Or in some translation, it will say guile. The word means the action or practice of deceiving someone by concealing or misrepresenting the truth. It involves a definite attempt or intentional attempt to distort or hide or undermine the truth. You know, when we read of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit, or some translation, there was no guile found in his mouth. If we want to grow in our Christian life, just like our Lord, we should avoid the practice of deceiving someone by either by concealing the truth or misrepresenting the truth. But the third is hypocrisy, and the fourth one is all evil speaking. And I understand that this word only occurs two places in the New Testament, here and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, and there it is translated backbiting. It says, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts, wrath, selfish ambition, backbiting. That is the word. Whispering, conceit, tumult. It means all kinds of slander speaking against others. And usually the primary motives for slandering others is jealousy or envy towards them. You know, it's easy to speak evil of others, either to make them look bad or to make you look good in comparison to them. And most of the time, it is a byproduct of a jealousy and to make others look bad. And you must put this practice away. You know, one of the things the elders here always say is do not gossip. If you have something, if you want to talk, do not pick up the phone and call another brother or another sister and start talking to them about it. It is evil speaking of someone. You take the phone and call the elders if you have a concern. You must put these things away. The reason I spent that much time is when I was studying this, I was so surprised to see Peter is listing these, Paul is listing these things in the life of a believer. Because we were born again, but these are things that stick to us, and these are things that we need to intentionally avoid, intentionally cast off, intentionally lay aside. Well, I'm going to stop here, and the next week will be my last week, and we will be looking at the privileges of a Christian. So we looked at the birth of a Christian, the growth of a Christian, next the privileges of a Christian, and then it is the responsibilities of a Christian, and then it is the example of a Christian. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before thy presence. We thank you for thy precious word that thou hast given into our hearts. Father, we pray that thou may help us to be truthful to thy word, to obey thy word, to grow in our Christian life, to mature in our Christian life, and pray that it may help us to intentionally remove those things that stand, that prevent our growth in our Christian life. Father, that in the days to come that we may, Father, dig deeper into thy word and find the treasures that are hidden in thy word, so that we may make those our own. That our ultimate goal is that we may grow up to the stature of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you. We pray for those who are going through suffering, difficulties in our own assembly. We continue to pray for Mary. Can you pray for Clifford? Can you pray for Finney? We especially pray for Jeff and the grieving family. We continue to pray that it may be with them and comfort them in their sorrow as they grieve the departure of their dear mom. And Father, we pray that it may take us through this week under thy care and thy protection. Help us to feel thy presence each and every day of our life, and help us to be fine faithful in your service. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We pray all these in the precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.